Welcome back. We're doing a slight shift here in session 32 in this class. It's called Preacher Preparation Presentation, a class on making and preaching sermons. And we've looked at, you know, you as a preacher and who you are, the preparation that you have to do in order to preach a sermon. We looked at that extensively. We looked at presentation, how you go about making a presentation after you've developed a sermon. And now I'm going to shift in these last sessions that I have with you to talk about just some practical considerations. And they're going to be just some subject matter that I think will be helpful to you, but they don't fall neatly into one of those other sections. And so today you'll note I want to talk about preaching sermon series. Now, if you're somebody who is just going around preaching in various churches, this maybe won't be relevant to you. I'm talking mostly to those of you who are going to be in a congregational kind of setting, and you will have some preaching responsibilities on a regular basis. There are huge advantages to preaching your messages in a series. Now, Rick Warren, in a blog that he does for preachers, said here are the three reasons that he preaches in series. He says, one, it builds anticipation in the congregation. In other words, when he announces a series, and it's something that they're going to look forward to, that they're saying, oh, this is great. I want to be part of that. I want to be there. And so he always announces his series of messages well beforehand in order to build that anticipation. Secondly, it can create the buzz of word-of-mouth advertising. Now, statistics have shown that if you're trying to grow a local congregation, 75% of the people who will come to your church will come because they know somebody there. It'll be a friend, it'll be a relative, it'll be a neighbor, but somehow there will be a connection to somebody who's there. Well, creating buzz means that your people have an opportunity to talk to others, saying, hey, you know what? There's something happening in our church. You've got to come. This is a series about, and hopefully if it's one of the kind we'll talk in a moment about, that is attractive to the community, people will consider coming. It can create that kind of buzz of anticipation, the buzz of word-of-mouth advertising. And then thirdly, preaching in series saves time. If you're going to preach in a series, you can gather material that will be relevant to more than one message. For instance, if you're preaching through a book of the Bible, for instance, as we'll talk about in a moment, you can gather all the material you need, or whether you're going through some topic, you can gather a variety of materials, and that will save you preparation time because you won't have to start from scratch in your research. And so, consider when you're going to be preaching in a regular situation, whatever that is, creating a series of messages to fit that situation. Now, when we're talking about series of messages, you've got to know that there are different kinds of series or styles of sermon series. One might be sections of the Bible. You can do a book of the Bible. In fact, there are those who believe and passionately believe that going verse by verse by verse through a book of the Bible is the only way, really, to preach. Now, I disagree with that, but preaching through a Bible has some advantages. You know, one of the disadvantages is the fact that it'll take you like 2 years to get through a book of the Bible. And in the meantime, there are all these other themes that might be relevant to people. And so that might be your style, though, that on some regular basis, you say, I want people to understand what is in the book of Philippians. Or I want people to understand the book of Ephesians. Or you can do sections within a book. The very first series I did preaching many, many years ago now was I decided to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. And all that advantage of gathering that material was mine. I gathered all kinds of material on the Sermon on the Mount. Started with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed, etc. I preached out one on each of those. And then I was 6 months into this series. And frankly, you know, I was a bit bored myself. So I was afraid that that was happening in the congregation. But there are all kinds of ways that you can look at a section of the Bible. I preached a series of six messages on 1 Corinthians 13. You know, what is love? And you define it by all those verbs that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. And so we looked at each one of those. Or the fruit of the Spirit. You can look at each one of those words. Or take any significant portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 8. I did like seven sermons on Romans chapter 8. two or three different times just because it is such a rich chapter. And so that's a section of the Bible. You know, I brought in the context before and after, but my series was this, Romans chapter 8. Or you can do Bible characters. You can do David, for instance. He's popular right now. If you go online, you'll find all kinds of information about David in series of messages that people have preached. And I've noticed in West Michigan here that that seems to be a popular subject right now. And there's just a bunch of material out there. But you can do other series about characters. You know, I did one on the women that are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. And they're surprising women. And so that was for an Advent series to talk about how in the world do you get Rahab, the prostitute, in the genealogy, the ancestry of Jesus Christ, the only pure person who's ever walked on the face of the earth. How do you get a Tamar who seduces her father-in-law because he's mistreated the way that he was supposed to treat her according to the traditions of that day. And a baby's born, and that's one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. You think, this is a rather sordid story. How did we get this in the Bible? And that this is the background to Jesus. And so each one of those women went through one per week. Bathsheba, the one who commits adultery with David, and yet the lineage of Jesus is traced through this woman who's probably not even a Jewess. And anyway, so you can do those kind of things. Or just encounters of people. I did a Lenten series once where people within the Lenten story and their encounter with Jesus Christ and how they viewed him and what truth was about Jesus. For instance, Pilate, Herod, the Jewish leaders, etc., that these are people, Peter with his denial of Jesus Christ, and the centurion who said, surely this is the Son of God. You can do those kind of things. These can make interesting and challenging series for your people. So you can take Bible sections, or you can do a topical series. A topical series can be things like a human interest story, a message on the family. Now, when you are doing sermon series, you should keep in mind that some series will be good for your congregation. I'll talk about this in a moment. But some should be fitting the culture, fitting the unchurched world, attractive to them. So some human interest thing like family, a parenting that the Bible gives us wisdom on, that there can be a series of messages that's developed in such a way that people will come and it'll create that buzz, it'll create that anticipation that you want created. And so answering challenges, how about science and faith? How do those two relate? And there's some great material about that, and you could look at various subjects. Where is God when it hurts? Why do we have to apologize for the fact that when we're in pain, we don't understand where God is? Where is God when things go wrong in our lives? Doctrinal issues. There are all kinds of doctrinal issues that could be established within a topical series of messages. So you can do it that way. Now, here's a couple of illustrations of topical messages. Here's a series. Hope you can see that. A home and family. So, this person made a marriage made in paradise, looking at Genesis 2, verses 18 to 25, the story of Adam and Eve being created and brought to Adam. The world's greatest undertaking, Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9, child raising. And it talks about talking about these things with your children. You know, not only to keep the law of God on your wrists and on your forehead, but in your heart. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's in that section. And then it says, and you should talk about these things with your children. So there's some tips in there about child raising. Or from dreadlock to wedlock, how do you fall in love with marriage? That great passage from the Apostle Paul. God's word to married couples, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. Don't be mismatched with unbelievers. That, you've got to share this faith as a bedrock for your relationship. God's word to singles. What does it mean to live the single life in such a way that God is honored? God's word to the separated. You're considering divorce and remarriage. What does the Bible have to say about that? And how should we view that? God's word about your money. Money is the number one reason married couples fight. And so how do you view money together? Or here's a series, topical series on prayer. Went too far. Place of prayer, Luke 18, verse 1, where that's the widow who comes and pleads for the before the unjust judge. And there's a wonderful teaching about prayer there. Or the privilege of prayer, Psalm 55. The pattern for prayer, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And problems of prayer. What happens when, you know, prayer doesn't seem to work? So these kind of topical series can be wonderfully effective in getting out a message. So what kind do you want to preach? Another kind of series would be the lectionary. Now, in my tradition, we didn't use the lectionary. But the lectionary is you can find it online if you're not familiar with it. Many established denominations use this lectionary. And what it does is it goes through the church year. Every week within the church year, every Sunday, has a title to it. It might be, you know, before Pentecost or after Pentecost. It might be Advent and then Epiphany after after Advent and those kind of things. So there are four texts given in the lectionary every single week, and there are resources for the preacher. So you can find these things online. All you got to do is put in lectionary, and the lectionary will give you in a pattern these four texts every week, and then we'll give you illustrations, we'll give you all sorts of resources to use in your sermon making. In fact, those who'd use the lectionary say, here are the reasons you should do it. One, you don't get stuck in a rut of your favorite passages. Two, your congregation gets a balanced exposure to the entire Bible over a three-year period. The scripture texts are always relate to the church season, and the overall structure of worship reenacts the life and ministry of Jesus Christ over the course of each year. And the biblical content of worship increases. So it's biblical. It tries to follow an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, epistle reading, four texts every single week. You might want to look at that when you're trying to figure out, well, what kind of series should I preach? Another kind of approach would be to do a general calendar. Now, this is the style that we tended to use in the churches that I have served in the last at least 30 of the 40 years. And that is, we had an idea about the general church calendar. And so, we'd start maybe with Advent. We'd plan Advent. And in Advent, you'd say, okay, I got 4 weeks there between Thanksgiving and Christmas in the United States. And all right, what am I going to do to help people anticipate the coming of Jesus that is represented in the Advent experience or the Christmas experience? And so, what subjects will help people do that? And so we would develop an Advent series of messages. And then we would do the general calendar of Lent. Okay, Lent is that, 40-day period before Easter. And it's a time, traditionally, when we focus on, preparing our hearts for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And in many cases, that involves contemplating my sins. So we look at those, 6 to 7 weeks of what are going to be the subjects that would help us do this general calendar. We wouldn't do it from January to Lent season, but we would acknowledge the general calendar. Christmas and Easter, of course, you're always doing something there, and sometimes before and sometimes after. Found it often helpful, as I'll say in a few moments, to capitalize on Christmas and Easter. In fact, Rick Warren, as he's talking about the reason he preaches in series, says he would always announce his series at the right times. And Christmas and Easter would be times when he got the biggest audience of the year, at least that's the experience here in the United States. And so he would announce his next sermon series on those days and get the biggest audience, building anticipation and building buzz. Another very helpful series, way to go about developing a sermon series would be to do like themes. I, for good or ill, have been involved in 6 building campaigns during my years of ministry, and each one of those was accompanied by a sermon series or two, especially as we are raising funds. Now, sometimes we consider stewardship along the way, but other times other considerations. One time I preached through the book of Nehemiah where, Nehemiah comes and he's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem because we were looking at a major relocation and I wanted people to be involved with that relocation. And when the relocation took longer than I thought we had planned, and I went on to the book of to look at, you know, the next book in series. And so we talked about, you know, what does it mean to move? The book of Ezra talks about moving because they get this great vision for bringing people back to Jerusalem. And so did this whole thing about God goes along as we were going to move. In fact, we moved from one facility into a temporary facility for 2.5 years, and then we moved into the main facility, the new auditorium and other buildings that we had built over a 6.5 year period. And so those kind of series were just very important to try to keep the congregation focused on what we are doing ahead. You can do themes like a spiritual growth campaign. And, you know, sometimes you use a building campaign, but you can use that in spiritual ways too. What ways do you want your congregation to grow through a period of spiritual growth? And so, very helpful to do something similar to the building campaign kind of thing, and that you say, okay, for this period of time, we're going to have this focus for a spiritual growth in this congregation. And now, how am I going to populate that and support that sermon series in such a way that it's more meaningful? And so we would produce promotional material for it. We would produce things that would be pushing the envelope as far as people engaging with the Word of God. And so we'd have people have devotions that they would have. So we 5 days a week, we didn't do it 7, but 5 days a week they had a devotional that they could read that related to the message that was coming up. And then we did a discussion material. So we provided for families around their dinner, or we provided for small groups that would meet to say, after the message, how can we keep the application of this message going? And so those kind of themes and campaigns can be very, very powerful in your church. So another style is to simply do your own design. Now, I'll share with you the way that I've come down. You can do whatever you want with those kind of sermon series through a year, but it helps to plan ahead. I planned a general year, just very generally, but then planned in 3-month increments during that time. And this is the way I tended to do it. In the fall, I would have a series on vision and mission. In other words, we've had the church year, which tended to go through May, early June, and then the summer is off. We'll talk about that in just a moment, as you'll see. But then in the fall, as we're kicking off all the ministry programs again for children and youth and adults, I would focus on why are we doing this stuff we're doing? And once again, we're talking about the vision of the church. The vision of the church that I last served was we exist to help each other take the next step in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? By gathering together, by growing numerically but spiritually, and then by going into the world to make a difference. And so every fall, I did a different series of messages on that subject. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is how we believe this mission relates to who we are as individuals. And then Advent would come after Thanksgiving, and we'd do an Advent series of 4 weeks. The new year would be the time when we'd do a spiritual growth campaign for a period of time. That's when we would just, you know, flood people. That's when we seem to have the best consistent attendance of people in the winter months. Summer people are gone here where I live. And then Lent would come. And we would do a time of Lent preparing people for the celebration of Easter. And then after that, we'd do a variety of things, usually a Bible study of some kind, where we would want people to have a time of intense gaining of knowledge about a particular section of the Bible, and that would lead us to summer. Now, the summer, you'll say, the not series series. What we would do there is just a series of messages that didn't really relate to each other a whole bunch, like summer in the Psalms or the promises of God, that each message stood by itself because so many people would be gone on vacation each week in the church I served that we didn't want to try to do something that required people to be in this message to understand this one, to understand this one. So that's the way we've done it. Now, how do you develop a series of messages? One, pray. Pray so God reveals you to the needs of the congregation or those that are attractive to the community. Be aware of cultural trends in your community so that you can build a series of messages occasionally that you can advertise. Pray. and think about what's going on in the congregation. Is this a building program time? Are there internal problems that should be addressed from the pulpit? Are there spiritual needs, like, you know, using your spiritual gift, gossip in the church, the need for spiritual growth that you recognize we're dealing with babies, a stewardship, that you develop series within the congregation, but also some that are attractive to the community that you can reach out, like a friend day, or what does it mean to live in a complex world? A guilt and shame is big in our community, and so you might want to do a series of messages like that if that's your situation. Financial freedom, that's always an attractive one. Marriage, parenting, those kind of things, what's attractive to the community, when do you develop those kind? You pray. You determine how long the series is going to be. You do that by what are the primary scriptures? What are the main points I want to make? Then you set the dates and you capitalize on the best start times. As I said, Rick Warren does Easter and Christmas as big kickoffs. But, you know, January is always a good time. People are making resolutions. Where will that work? Develop a catchy title. What's going to catch people's attention? You might hopefully have a team of creative people that can bat this around and brainstorm it with you. Here's one church that said, skeletons in the closet, and the backside of this mailer says, no church would ever welcome you back. Not with your history, right? And they talked about, you know, hey, we all fail, and we're inviting you to come to a group of failures who have come to know the grace of Jesus Christ. Develop a catchy title. Gather the resources you need, and prepare. And then share. And what I mean by share is share with other people around you what you're doing, like the music people, that there would be tie-ins for the music, particular kinds of music that would be used. Decorations. Here's a bunch of exercise equipment that a pastor was doing a series on, you know, building up, growing in our faith, building up ourselves spiritually. And so they got all of this kind of exercise equipment and had it all over the church so that it became a reinforcing to the message. And, you know, there might be sharing of decorations, but drama, film clips, and that sort of thing. So here's my encouragement to you to preach when you can in series of messages that will build the buzz, build the anticipation, but will also, I think, build spiritual growth. And you'll see God blessing that, I believe. We'll see you next time.